them as he paused to lock the bedroom door. The tenor of the party seemed subtly different to Clary. Perhaps it was just her slightly altered vision. Everything seemed clearer, crystalline edges sharply defined. She watched a group of musicians take the small stage at the center of the room. They wore flowing garments in deep colors of gold, purple, and green, and their high voices were sharp and ethereal. "I hate fairy bands," Magnus muttered as the musicians segued into another haunting song, the melody as delicate and translucent as rock crystal. "All they ever play is mopey ballads." Jace, glancing around the room, laughed.
"Where's Isabel?"
A rush of guilty concern hit Clary. She'd forgotten about Simon. She spun around, looking for the familiar skinny shoulders and shock of dark hair. "I don't see him. Them, I mean."
"There she is."
Alex spotted his sister and waved her over, looking relieved.
"Over here, and watch out for the puka."
"Watch out for the puka," Jace repeated, glancing toward a thin brown-skinned man in a green paisley vest,
who eyed Isabel thoughtfully as she walked by. "He pinched me when I passed him earlier," Alex said stiffly, "in a highly personal area."
"I hate to break it to you, but if he's interested in your highly personal areas, he probably isn't interested in your sister's."
"Not necessarily," said Magnus. "Fairies aren't particular."
Jace curled his lips scornfully in the warlock's direction.
"You still here?"
Before Magnus could reply, Isabel was on top of them, looking pink-faced and blotchy and smelling strongly of alcohol.
"Jace, Alec, where have you been? I've been looking all over."
"Where's Simon?" Clary interrupted. Isabel wobbled.
"He's a rat," she said darkly.
"Did he do something to you?"
Alec was full of brotherly concern.
"Did he touch you? If he tried anything?"
"No, Alec," Isabel said irritably. "Not like that. He's a rat."
"She's drunk," said Jace, beginning to turn away in disgust.
"I'm not," Isabel said indignantly. "Well, maybe a little, but that's not the point. The point is, Simon drank one of those blue drinks. I told him not to, but he didn't listen, and he turned into a rat."
"A rat?" Clary repeated incredulously.
"You don't mean..."
"I mean a rat," Isabel said. "Little, brown, scaly tail."
"The Clave isn't going to like this," said Alec dubiously. "I'm pretty sure turning mundanes into rats is against the law."
"Technically, she didn't turn him into a rat," Jace pointed out. "The worst she could be accused of is negligence."
"Who cares about the stupid law?" Clary screamed, grabbing a hold of Isabel's wrist. "My best friend is a rat."
"Ouch!"
Isabel tried to pull her wrist back.
"Let go of me."
"Not until you tell me where he is."
She'd never wanted to smack anyone as much as she wanted to smack Isabel right at that moment.
"I can't believe you just left him. He's probably terrified."
"If he hasn't been stepped on," Jace pointed out unhelpfully.
"I didn't leave him. He ran under the bar,"
Isabel protested, pointing.
"Let go. You're denting my bracelet."
"Bitch,"
Clary said savagely, and flung a surprised-looking Isabel's hand back at her, hard. She didn't stop for a reaction. She was running toward the bar. Dropping to her knees, she peered into the dark space under it. In the moldy-smelling gloom, she thought she could just detect a pair of glinting, beady eyes.
"Simon," she said, her voice choked. "Is that you?"
Simon the Rat crept forward slightly, his whiskers trembling. She could see the shape of his small, rounded ears, flat against his head and the sharp point of his nose. She fought down a feeling of revulsion. She'd never liked rats, with their yellowy squared-off teeth all ready to bite. She wished he'd been turned into a hamster.
"It's me, Clary," she said slowly. "Are you okay?"
Jace and the others arrived behind her, Isabel looking more annoyed now than tearful.
"Is he under there?"
Jace asked curiously. Clary, still on her hands and knees, nodded.
"Shh! You'll frighten him off!"
She pushed her fingers gingerly under the edge of the bar and wiggled them.
"Please come out, Simon. We'll get Magnus to reverse the spell. It'll be okay."
She heard a squeak, and the rat's pink nose poked out from beneath the bar. With an exclamation of relief, Clary seized the rat in her hands.
"Simon, you understood me!"
The rat, huddled in the hollow of her palms, squeaked glumly. Delighted, she hugged him to her chest.
Oh, poor baby, she crooned, almost as if he were really a pet. Poor Simon, it'll be fine, I promise.
I wouldn't feel too sorry for him, Jay said. That's probably the closest he's ever gotten to second base.
Shut up! Clary glared at Jace furiously, but she did loosen her grip on the rat. His whiskers were trembling, whether in anger or agitation or simple terror she couldn't tell. Get Magnus, she said sharply. We have to turn him back.
Let's not be hasty.
Jace was actually grinning, the bastard. He reached towards Simon as if he meant to pet him.
He's cute like that. Look at his little pink nose.
Simon bared long yellow teeth at Jace and made a snapping motion. Jace pulled his outstretched hand back.
Izzy, go fetch our magnificent host.
Why me? Isabel looked petulant.
Because it's your fault the mundane's a rat, idiot, he said,
and Clary was struck by how rarely any of them, other than Isabel, ever said Simon's actual name.
And we can't leave him here.
You'd be happy to leave him here if it weren't for her, Isabel said, managing to inject the single-syllable word with enough venom to poison an elephant. She stalked off, her skirt flouncing around her hips.
I can't believe she let you drink that blue drink, Clary said to Rat Simon. Now you see what you get for being so shallow.
Simon squeaked irritably. Clary heard someone chuckle and glanced up to see Magnus leaning over her. Isabel stood behind him, her expression furious.
Rattus norwegicus, said Magnus, peering at Simon. A common brown rat, nothing exotic.
I don't care what kind of rat he is, Clary said crossly. I want him turned back. Magnus scratched his head thoughtfully, shedding glitter. No point, he said.
That's what I said.
Jace looked pleased.
No point? Clary shouted, so loudly that Simon hid his head under her thumb. How can you say there's no point?
Because he'll turn back on his own in a few hours, said Magnus. The effect of the cocktails is temporary. No point working up a transformation spell. It'll just traumatize him. Too much magic is hard on mundanes. Their systems aren't used to it.
I doubt his system is used to being a rat either, Clary pointed out.
You're a warlock, can't you just reverse the spell?
Magnus considered.
No, he said.
You mean you won't?
Not for free, darling, and you can't afford me.
I can't take a rat home on the subway either, Clary said plaintively. I'll drop him, or one of the MTA police will arrest me for transporting pests on the transit system. Simon chirped his annoyance. Not that you're a pest, of course. A girl who had been shouting by the door was now joined by 6 or 7 others. The sound of angry voices rose above the hum of the party and the strains of the music. Magnus rolled his eyes.
Excuse me, he said, backing into the crowd, which closed behind him instantly.
Isabel, wobbling on her sandals, expelled a gusty sigh.
So much for his help.
You know, Alec said, you could always put the rat in your backpack. Clary looked at him hard, but couldn't find anything wrong with the idea. It wasn't as if she had a pocket she could have tucked him in. Isabel's clothes didn't allow for pockets. They were too tight. Clary was amazed they allowed for Isabel. Shrugging off her pack, she found a hiding place for the small brown rat that had once been Simon, nestled between her rolled-up sweater and her sketch pad. He curled up atop her wallet, looking reproachful.
I'm sorry, she said miserably.
Don't bother, said Jace. Why mundanes always insist on taking responsibility for things that aren't their fault is a mystery to me. You didn't force that cocktail down his idiotic throat.
If it weren't for me, he wouldn't have been here at all, Clary said in a small voice.
Don't flatter yourself. He came because of Isabel.
Angrily, Clary jerked the top of the bag closed and stood up.
Let's get out of here. I'm sick of this place.
The tight knot of shouting people by the door turned out to be more vampires, easily recognizable by the pallor of their skin and the dead blackness of their hair. They must dye it, Clary thought. They couldn't possibly all be naturally dark-haired, and besides, some of them had blonde eyebrows. They were loudly complaining about their vandalized motorbikes and the fact that some of their friends were missing and unaccounted for.
They're probably drunk and passed out somewhere, Magnus said, waving long white fingers in a bored manner. You know how you lot tend to turn into bats and piles of dust when you've downed a few too many Bloody Marys.
They mix their vodka with real blood, Jay said in Clary's ear.
The pressure of his breath made her shiver. Yes, I got that, thanks.
We can't go around picking up every pile of dust in the place just in case it turns out to be Gregor in the morning, said a girl with a sulky mouth and painted-on eyebrows.
Gregor will be fine. I rarely sweep, soothed Magnus. I'm happy to send any stragglers back to the hotel come tomorrow. In a car with blacked-out windows, of course.
But what about our motorbikes? Said a thin boy whose blonde roots showed just under his bad dye job. A gold earring in the shape of a stake hung from his left earlobe. It'll take hours to fix them.
You've got until sunrise, said Magnus, temper visibly fraying. I suggest you get started.
He raised his voice.
All right, that's it. Party's over. Everybody out.
He waved his arms, shedding glitter. With a single loud twang, the band ceased playing. A drone of loud complaint rose from the partygoers, but they moved obediently toward the doorway. None of them stopped to thank Magnus for the party.
Come on.
Jace pushed Clary toward the exit. The crowd was dense. She held her backpack in front of her, hands wrapped protectively around it. Someone bumped her shoulder hard, and she yelped and moved sideways, away from Jace. A hand brushed her backpack. She looked up and saw the vampire with the stake earring grinning at her.
Hey, pretty thing, he said. What's in the bag?
Holy water,
said Jace, reappearing beside her as if he'd been conjured up like a genie. A sarcastic blonde genie with a bad attitude.
Ooh, a shadow hunter, said the vampire. Scary.
With a wink, he melted back into the crowd.
Vampires are such prima donnas, Magnus sighed from the doorway. Honestly, I don't know why I have these parties.
Because of your cat, Clary reminded him. Magnus perked up.
That's true. Chairman Meow deserves my every effort.
He glanced at her and the tight knot of shadow hunters just behind her.
You on your way out?
Jace nodded.
Don't want to overstay our welcome.
What welcome? Magnus asked. I'd say it was a pleasure to meet you, but it wasn't. Not that you aren't all fairly charming. And as for you...
He dropped a glittery wink at Alec, who looked astounded.
Call me?
Alec blushed and stuttered and probably would have stood there all night if Jace hadn't grasped his elbow and hauled him toward the door, Isabel at their heels. Clary was about to follow when she felt a light tap on her arm. It was Magnus.
I have a message for you, he said. From your mother.
Clary was so surprised she nearly dropped the pack.
From my mother? You mean she asked you to tell me something?
Not exactly, Magnus said.
His feline eyes, slit by their single vertical pupils like fissures in a green gold wall, were serious for once.
But I knew her in a way that you didn't. She did what she did to keep you out of a world that she hated. Her whole existence, the running, the hiding, the lies, as you called them, were to keep you safe. Don't waste her sacrifices by risking your life. She wouldn't want that.
She wouldn't want me to save her?
Not if it meant putting yourself in danger.
But I'm the only person who cares what happens to her.
No, Magnus said. You aren't.
Clary blinked.
I don't understand. Is there... Magnus, if you know something...
He cut her off with brutal precision.
And one last thing.
His eyes flicked toward the door, through which Jace, Alec, and Isabel had disappeared.
Keep in mind that when your mother fled from the Shadow World, it wasn't the monsters she was hiding from. Not the warlocks, the wolfmen, the fair folk, not even the demons themselves. It was them. It was the Shadow Hunters.
They were waiting for her outside the warehouse. Jace, hands in pockets, was leaning against the stairway railing and watching as the vampires stalked around their broken motorcycles, cursing and swearing. He had a faint smile on his face. Alec and Isabel stood a little way off. Isabel was wiping at her eyes, and Clary felt a wave of irrational anger. Isabel barely knew Simon. This wasn't her disaster. Clary was the one who had the right to be carrying on, not the Shadow Hunter girl. Jace unhitched himself from the railing as Clary emerged. He fell into step beside her, not speaking. He seemed lost in thought.
Isabel and Alec, hurrying ahead, sounded like they were arguing with each other. Clary stepped up her pace a little, craning her neck to hear them better.
"It's not your fault," Alec was saying.
He sounded weary, as if he'd been through this sort of thing with his sister before. Clary wondered how many boyfriends she'd turn into rats by accident.
"But it ought to teach you not to go to so many downworld parties," he added. "They're always more trouble than they're worth."
Isabel sniffed loudly.
"If anything had happened to him, I don't know what I would have done."
"Probably whatever it is you did before," said Alec in a bored voice. "It's not like you knew him all that well."
"That doesn't mean that I don't..."
"What, love him?"
Alec scoffed, raising his voice.
"You need to know someone to love them."
"But that's not all it is."
Isabel sounded almost sad.
"Didn't you have any fun at the party, Alec?"
"No."
"I thought you might like Magnus. He's nice, isn't he?"
"Nice?"
Alec looked at her as if she were insane.
"Kittens are nice. Warlocks are..."
He hesitated.
"Not,"
he finished, lamely.
"I thought you might hit it off."
Isabel's eye makeup glittered as bright as tears as she glanced over at her brother.
"Get to be friends."
"I have friends,"
Alec said, and looked over his shoulder, almost as if he couldn't help it, at Jace. But Jace, his golden head down, lost in thought, didn't notice. On impulse, Clary reached to open the pack and glance into it, and frowned. The pack was open. She flashed back to the party. She'd lifted the pack, pulled the zipper closed. She was sure of it. She yanked the bag open, her heart pounding. She remembered the time she'd had her wallet stolen on the subway. She remembered opening her bag, not seeing it there, her mouth drying up in surprise. "Did I drop it? Have I lost it?" And realizing, it's gone. This was like that, only 1,000 times worse. Mouth dry as bone, Clary pawed through the pack, shoving aside clothes and sketchpad, her fingernails scraping the bottom. Nothing. She'd stopped walking. Jace was hovering just ahead of her, looking impatient, Alec and Isabel already a block ahead.
"What's wrong?"
Jace asked, and she could tell he was about to add something sarcastic. He must have seen the look on her face, though, because he didn't.
"Clary?"
"He's gone," she whispered. "Simon, he was in my backpack."
"Did he climb out?"
It wasn't an unreasonable question, but Clary, exhausted and panic-stricken, reacted unreasonably.
"Of course he didn't," she screamed. "What, you think he wants to get smashed under someone's car? Killed by a cat?"
"Clary,
shut up,"
she screamed, swinging the pack at him.
"You were the one who said not to bother changing him back."
Deftly, he caught the pack as she swung it. Taking it out of her hand, he examined it.
"The zip is torn," he said. "From the outside. Someone ripped this bag open."
Shaking her head numbly, Clary could only whisper,
I didn't...
"I know."
His voice was gentle. He cupped his hands around his mouth.
"Alec, Isabel, you go on ahead. We'll catch up."
The two figures, already far ahead, paused. Alec hesitated, but his sister caught hold of his arm and pushed him firmly toward the subway entrance. Something pressed against Clary's back. It was Jace's hand, turning her gently around. She let him lead her forward, stumbling over the cracks in the sidewalk, until they were back in the entryway of Magnus's building. The stench of stale alcohol and the sweet, uncanny smell Clary had come to associate with downworlders filled the tiny space. Taking his hand away from her back, Jace pressed the buzzer over Magnus's name.
"Jace," she said.
He looked down at her.
"What?"
She searched for words.
"Do you think he's all right?"
"Simon?"
He hesitated then, and she thought of Isabel's words. Don't ask him a question unless you know you can stand the answer. Instead of saying anything, he pressed the buzzer again, harder this time. This time Magnus answered it, his voice booming through the tiny entryway.
"Who dares disturb my rest?"
Jace looked almost nervous.
"Jace Wayland, remember? I'm from the Clave."
"Oh, yes."
Magnus seemed to have perked up.
"Are you the one with the blue eyes?"
"He means Alec," Clary said helpfully.
"No, my eyes are usually described as golden," Jace told the intercom,
"and luminous."
"Oh, you're that one."
Magnus sounded disappointed. If Clary hadn't been so upset, she would have laughed.
"I suppose you'd better come up."
The warlock answered his door wearing a silk kimono printed with dragons, a gold turban, and an expression of barely controlled annoyance.
"I was sleeping," he said loftily.
Jace looked as if he were about to say something rude, possibly.